Ever since a student at Ann Arbor's Pioneer High School got his first 8mm camera for his 17th birthday, he's been searching for good stories to tell, and tell them he does. That Ann Arbor High School kid was Ken Burns. And since getting that first camera in 1970, Ken has turned his camera and his storyteller's eye to subjects like World War II, the Civil War, the Brooklyn Bridge, baseball, jazz, the West, and so much more. Tonight on PBS, Ken Burns brings us his newest story. It's called The Address. The film follows the students at a tiny school in Vermont, where the students are challenged every year to learn and then recite Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And as he follows these boys, Ken uncovers many powerful individual stories, and at the same time brings us a much-needed reminder of the power of Abraham Lincoln's words. Ken Burns, welcome back to Michigan Radio and to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
Ken, what led you to these boys at Greenwood School in Putney, Vermont?
Well, I live now and have for the last 35 years across the river from Putney in Walpole, New Hampshire. And I was invited 10 years ago to be a judge at this recital that they do in February around Lincoln's birthday. Now, you have to understand, all of these boys, it's a tiny school, 50 of them, suffer from dyslexia, ADHD, dysgraphia, executive function, a whole host of alphabet soup of learning differences. And when I got there, I knew about the school and saw this thing. I had tears coursing down my cheeks. I said, somebody's got to make a film of this. This is too good. This is not my style, but I would. I think a film should be done. And then I would go back every year and either be a judge again or meet with the kids while they were struggling to learn it. And you have to understand that it's not just memorization that's tough for the kids like this. It's tough for all of us, but it's really tough for them. And then public speaking is the extra added thing. They have to go out and do it in front of a few hundred people. It's a minefield of terrors and anxieties. And I was so impressed that I finally said, look, I got to put my money where my mouth is and do this. And you're right. In Lincoln's speech, this is arguably the greatest speech ever given in the English language. It is about a new birth of freedom. The first sentence is, you know, 47 years ago, is about the past.
Yes.
The second sentence, now we are engaged in the great Civil War, is about the present. And the rest is tugging us into, as he put, a new birth of freedom, into our future. And this is him doubling down on the Declaration. I mean, when Thomas Jefferson said all men are created equal 47 years before, he owned other human beings. And now Lincoln was saying, look, we really do mean that all men are created equal, and this is our 2.0, our operating system that no one's replaced. We are still using the operating system that Abraham Lincoln spoke on November 19, 1863, 150 years ago. And it's inspirational to us. It was inspirational then. And, of course, for these boys, it becomes a kind of passport out of their difficulties.
These are kids who have been bullied. They've been laughed at. They've been made to feel not normal. And I was so moved by what the school therapist said to you, that he has parents say, all I want for my child is to be normal. And I say, it's not his job to be normal. It's his job to be who he is. So it's a chance for these boys to feel equal and show who they are.
That's exactly right, Sydney. It's so powerful in that regard. You know, Tom Ehrenberg, that therapist, goes on and says, you know, we like to think of ourselves as sort of cultivating individuality in this country, but we don't. We want conformity. And these kids are often been really brutalized by their school situations. And, you know, here's my thought about these language-based tasks, like the Gettysburg Address, which is most of us take the interstate. We go really fast. We can get from point A to point B pretty quickly. These kids can't. They have to take a long, circuitous route, but they get there, and it doesn't mean they're any less dumb. And let's remember that they are also so incredibly talented that a disproportionate number of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are dyslexic. So it means that the strategies they adopt, that long, circuitous way they take, often make them better prepared for life than the rest of us are. And as we edited the footage down that we'd collected from embedding with this school for 3 months, over 300 hours of footage, we suddenly realized, my goodness, if they can do it, we can do it. We made every single person on the crew, from me on down, memorize the Gettysburg Address. And then we've issued a challenge to the whole country. If you go to learntheaddress.org, you'll see all five living presidents, dozens of celebrities, but more important, thousands of our fellow citizens, children as well as adults, memorized the address and uploaded it. And it's just as the boys can take something away, the sense of satisfaction and pride at this very difficult task. You know, we don't have long-term tasks anymore. Everything's on a kind of a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis.
So true.
But these kids take a while to do it. And, you know, I promise you, I'm challenging everyone within the sound of my voice. And I know it sounds daunting and it's distracting, but you tape up a version of the Gettysburg Address to your mirror, you'll curse me for a couple of days, but then you'll have it, and for the rest of your life you'll have it, and you will be grateful. And maybe, you know, we're in a country now where everything is just, we accentuate the differences, red state, blue state, black, mm-hmm. white, male, female, young, old, rich, poor, north, south, east, west, gay, straight, whatever it is, we like to impose how someone is different from us. But yet, we all like to sing at church. We all like to sing together at the ballpark. We all like to understand how much it's important to act together. And this could be the greatest mass memorization. And we'd love to have everyone contribute at learntheaddress.org.
And when we think of what we're going to see tonight in your film, The Address, Ken, what one boy really found his way into your heart? Share his story with us.
Well, there were so many of them. You know, I'm the father of four daughters, and I now feel like I've got 50 adopted sons. I love these boys. They're amazing. And there's a wonderfully, incredibly cute kid named Gio, who
yes.
everyone will fall in love with. Great speech impediments and great difficulty, but great gusto in memorizing the address. There's another kid, Ian, who is perhaps the most poignant of all the boys.
Yes.
He's clearly been bullied. He talks about this. He talks about the kind of almost existential pain of this bullying and how Greenwood has rescued him. But coming to Greenwood doesn't mean that all of the demons have left him. And so they manifest throughout the film. And there's one almost breakdown that he has in the middle of a class of exasperation. He finally has to take himself out of the class for a kind of time out there. And you're certain he's going to go off the rails. And yet he perseveres and he perseveres and he perseveres. And he's incredibly eloquent. There's beautiful Max, tall, who can
yes.
recite the Gettysburg Address, knows it cold, but is so terrified of talking to more than one person that he's sure that if he were elected president, he could never give his inaugural address. But there he is, melting into his mom's arms at the end of the gala because he got the courage to do it. And I think these kids do is extraordinarily heroic.
And I think, need to address the teachers and the therapists, because it gave you, it really gave me as a viewer such a sense of the patience and the heart that they give to these students.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Cindy, because I felt that too. I mean, this is a loving environment. And one of the ingredients I think that's gone out of education is we don't ask kids to memorize anymore. We don't teach them civics. We don't understand that that's right in front of us, the glue that holds everything together, whether you're focusing on STEM or whether you're still trying to include the humanities and history and the arts and music. All of that requires the knowledge of how things work, the mechanics of the world. That's politics with a small p. That's civics. That's things like memorizing the Gettysburg Address and history. And that's the glue that will cure our education system. Too often, the size of the classroom or the budget cuts or whatever have made it impossible. The teachers and the staff and the administration at the Greenwood School remind you that the single greatest transfer of anything in a school situation is love. They clearly love these boys. They show enormous patience and forbearance as these kids struggle. Sometimes, as you know from seeing the film, yeah. Break down, throw tantrums, have a little fit, cry, fight, but eventually help each other and lift each other up. And the staff is there in one of the most moving dimensions, I think, of what we were able to capture on film.
Yeah, I would agree. And Ken, as you worked on this piece, we know there's many long hours in the editing suite shaping your film. What were your hopes and thoughts for what we as viewers will get out of watching The Address?
Well, I remember that initial experience I had when I first went to the Greenwood School on a freezing cold February night 10 years ago and didn't know what to expect, was going to serve as a judge, and then heard 26 or 30 renditions of the Gettysburg Address. and just thought, oh my God, I'd seen what they'd been through. And I think what I wanted to do in this film is set against the backdrop of the United States, the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln, the Battle of Gettysburg, and his address, which we do in archives that are narrated by the boys, to just watch that process. So we begin at the morning of their assignment, and then we follow them through. We had a crew there every single day the school was open, and even some when they weren't, to catch those empty corridors and empty classrooms. And just, I want that process to understand. I mean, in some ways, as you know, this is a suspenseful film. Who's going to do it?
Yes.
He's not going to do it. You know, he says he's not going to do it. Is he going to really do it? You know, all of these questions. And then I learned after the finish that the school, in the 35 years of its existence of teaching the Gettysburg Address, is one of these great tools that takes up a third or a quarter of the school year, that they'd never been to Gettysburg. So I rented motel rooms for two nights. We drove them, the entire school, to Gettysburg, and I gave them a day-long tour of the battlefield, and then ended up at the place where Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. And as we went along, we'd spin the kids off. This is 3 months after their gala, and they hadn't been taught it, hadn't been thinking about it or whatever. Every single one of the boys still had the Gettysburg Address completely perfectly memorized.
Let me just tell you, as a viewer, watching one of those boys standing at the Devil's Den and reciting it and seeing the look in his eyes, that's what got me too, that he connected everything.
Well, the thing is, the reason why we were told we were no longer memorizing, my dad, you know, who taught at U of M, he knew about 5 hours of poems and speeches and long passages of Shakespeare and things like that. But we don't teach our kids anymore. And the idea was that, oh, this is just rote. It doesn't have any meaning for them. You watch these kids. Mm. They know the meaning. They get the meaning of the words. They absorb it. It's part of their history class. It's part of their English class. They understand it as presidential poetry. It's part of their, the memory exercises. It's part of the remedial classes dealing with the dyslexia, dealing with the dysgraphia, dealing with ADHD, dealing with all of the various learning differences that they have. And it's across all those platforms that they bring this speech in. And as I said, you know, Lincoln says in the last sentence that this nation under God can have a new birth of freedom. And that's what it's about for them as well. And remember, you know, when I said this is our operating system still, on the first anniversary of 9/11, they didn't have any contemporary speeches. They read Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. It has nothing to do with 9/11, but it's the glue, it's the medicine that heals and keeps us together as a country. And these boys understand it in ways I'm hoping that we can encourage all classes to memorize the Gettysburg Address and have it on their hard drive permanently to teach their children and grandchildren.
Doing that, and I've seen this too, I have judged a declamation contest at my children's grade school where they do either stories, but the children who do the speeches, the Maya Angelou speech or Winston Churchill or JFK, and I have heard the Gettysburg Address, there is something that happens as they process those words. Not, as you
exactly.
say, they're not just reading on a mental teleprompter.
Nope. And you know, memorization, regardless of whether it's rote or not, actually uses a part of the brain that isn't used as often as it should be. So you're making yourself healthier by memorizing the Gettysburg Address. You're also taking into your heart one of the greatest 272 words, less than 2 minutes it took him to deliver it, and yet, you know, encapsulates the whole history and promise, most importantly, of the United States. You know, Thomas Jefferson owned slaves. Abraham Lincoln freed them and made it possible for us to say all men are created equal, all men and women are created equal. You know, the story of America is continually enlarging that rather narrow definition for Thomas Jefferson. For Thomas Jefferson, he meant all white men of property free of debt.
Mm.
Well, we don't mean that anymore. And the story of America is the story of us always in pursuit of happiness, as Jefferson said, always in the process of becoming something better, a more perfect union. And I think understanding where we've been, the Gettysburg Address, helps you understand where you are and, more importantly, where you're going.
It is very, very powerful. The documentary is The Address, airing tonight on PBS. And again, the website Ken referred to is learntheaddress.org, as he issues a challenge to all of us to follow what those boys at the Greenwood School have done and memorize Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Ken Burns, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to our next conversation.
I can't wait. And thanks so much for spreading the word.